Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
After a couple of unexpected days off due to an illness that Dan contracted, we are back for the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and that's right, I said Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that music means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I hope Dan's feeling better.
Yeah, I hope so, too, because we actually have a draft tonight as well. So hopefully he is up and rolling. But if you know Dan, you can give him a call or send him a tweet or however it wants to work out. But if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so something will be popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can go ahead and hit that link. It'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, we don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but feel free to reach out to me at BurkTime, and I can pass along anything you might have to say to Stu or about Stu or with Stu or however that works out. So there you go. All right, so we are up and running, and there were quite a few moves today in Major League Baseball, most of them minor, with the exception of a couple. And the big one here locally had the Chicago White Sox sending reliever, who I'm guessing will now be closer, Craig Kimbrel, to the Los Angeles Dodgers for outfielder A.J. Pollock. Now, I'm reading here that as part of this deal, Stu, no money has changed hands. Pollock makes $10 million this season, and then he has a buyout of $5 million or $10 million for an option next season, while Kimbrel just has 1 year left on his contract at $16 million. So fairly straight-up player-for-player deal, no prospects involved. I don't know when the last time we saw that was, but that's what we got. And it looks like Pollock is going to be slotted in as the White Sox everyday right fielder, at least until he gets hurt.
Well, they need to shore up the right field with one of their players coming down with a hip pointer. That was with Andrew Vaughn.
Yes.
But what about their other highly touted right fielders like Sheets and Engel? I guess maybe you think they're not quite good enough to patrol right field on a regular basis.
Well, Engel is defensively. Adam Engel's the best defensive outfielder they have. The problem is he hasn't really proven he can hit on a regular basis. I know he I believe he was better last year than he had been before. But, I guess they just didn't have the confidence in him to run him out there every day. And you got to remember, Sheets is a first baseman. He was a first baseman all the way through the minors. So to have to plug him into the outfield gets a little risky at times. And I know it worked with Vaughn, who proved he can actually play multiple positions. He even played some second and some third last year. How often are you going to continue to get that lucky? So, you know, it's probably better to have an actual outfielder out there than a guy who is just kind of learning how to be an outfielder.
Well, he certainly got a quality ball player in return for someone who really was not very effective at all when he was traded to the White Sox last season.
Yeah, and you got to wonder if going back into the closer's role will kind of put Kimbrel back to where he was before the trade. You know, of course, the big question with Pollock is how much will he play? You know, he's only played, the most he's ever played in the games played in the season was 157 in 2015. But then he got hurt and only played 12 games the next year. He did manage to play 117 games last year for the Dodgers. He hit a little under 300 at 297 with 21 home runs. So the White Sox are adding a talented player. The question just becomes, can he stay healthy? Because we just haven't seen it.
And don't forget that he is 34, and some players still start to erode at that stage of their career.
Yeah, and so far he hasn't shown it. You know, last year was the best year he'd had in a while, but that's the healthiest he had stayed as well. Since signing with the Dodgers, I think he got 4 years at $60 million with the Dodgers when he joined them. So he definitely wasn't worth the money there. But, you know, they get something that it appeared as though they needed was a closer. They needed a justified, hey, I'm this guy who went out and can get all these saves for you type of guy, because they were talking about it being Blake Tryon, who I know did that, I want to say, for the A's 1 year. I believe he closed and really, really did well. I'll have to double check those numbers, but you know, they didn't bring back Kenley Jansen, who ended up signing with the Braves after playing what seemed like 20 years in a Dodger uniform.
Yeah, that'll
so
be
they need
that when they meet, right? That'll be very interesting when those two teams compete during the regular season.
You know, I mean, they needed something at the back end of the bullpen. I mean, something a little more proven. You know, Tryon was really good as a setup guy for them last year. So not having to move him out of that role is probably a huge deal. You know, they also have Daniel Hudson, who has had some closing success. And, you know, the guy who I assume eventually takes this role over is it Bruzdard? I believe it's pronounced Grittal. You know, he's the guy I think eventually ends up in the role. But, you know, maybe he can learn from Kimbrel as the year goes on, or maybe he'll pick something up just from watching Kimbrel pitch. But yeah, it definitely was a big fill for the Dodgers. And yeah, looking at Tryon, he had 38 saves, but that was 2018. And that's the only year he's had that number. He's never came anywhere close to matching that number before. So it was definitely a plus for the Dodgers to add a Kimbrel.
The thing that interests me is this. Can Kimbrel moving back to the National League equal what he did for the Cubs in the early part of 2021?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's really no reason he shouldn't. You know, well, the fact that his ERA was .49, that may be a little tough to recreate. But, you know, I mean, if he ends up, you know, right around his career average at .218, he'll be a 2.18. He'll be a huge success for the Dodgers.
Has there been any discussion as to what caused his skills to erode so much last year when he was switched over to the White Sox? Was it the fact that he was in a different league, or was it the fact that he was used primarily as a setup man instead of a closer?
Yeah. You know, I don't think anybody really knows why it happened, but the consensus is it was him being moved into a setup role, and he just couldn't adjust or couldn't do something. So, but, yeah, that's, you know, how it kind of went out.
Yeah, and he was really bad as a setup guy for the White Sox last year.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was terrible. But, you know, it happens. So, you know, he was pretty bad for the Cubs, you know, when they brought him in halfway through that season as well. And then last year he was lights out. So who knows?
Yeah, he was terrific with the Cubs last year. And And, of course, when they first brought him up to the Cubs, he was pretty bad, as you pointed out. But don't forget, he had been out of action for quite some time. So maybe the rust was there initially.
So, yeah, you know, we'll see what he ends up giving the Dodgers and, you know, how it kind of works out for him. But, you know, it looks like, you know, it's two teams just kind of filling holes that they thought they had. You know, I mean, the Dodgers can easily move around not having Pollock in the outfield. You know, that's not an issue at all for them. So...
Well, the Dodgers have a loaded farm system also, and one of the best in baseball, and so they won't really lose too much by losing Pollock.
Yeah, no, they, you know, because, you know, looking at their lineup, you know, all that, you know, kind of happens is their outfield becomes, you know, Chris Taylor in left, Cody Bellinger in center, and then Mookie Betts in right. You know, they signed Kevin Pillar, who is a fantastic fourth outfielder. So, you know, they have plenty of firepower there. So, you know, it shouldn't be an issue at all.
Well, I'm sure the Dodgers are the odds-on favorite now to win the National League pennant.
Yeah, you know, I did see a couple of people mention the Braves, and some people still thinking that the Braves can repeat again. But, you know, I think people seem to forget that the Braves' regular season record wasn't very good. They just kind of got hot at the right time.
Yeah, they'll have their hands full with Philadelphia and New York, although New York received a blow recently with their starting pitching.
Yeah, I think New York's chances of contending may have just crashed and burned with the Jacob DeGrom injury. They're calling it a stress reaction. And as of right now, he is shut down and won't be reevaluated for a month. So
it does not bode well for his chances for this year.
Yeah, so... That I think that really kind of buries the Mets right off the start. I mean, granted, they do still have Max Scherzer at the top of the rotation, but I don't know if the guys they're gonna follow up with. I mean, you know, they went out and got Chris Bassitt. You know, he's a decent starting pitcher. You know, Carlos Carrasco is healthy, but he's 35. Tijon Walker has been hit or miss, and now it looks like Tyler McGill, who I believe the Cubs have his brother, will step in to take the fifth spot or the extra spot in the rotation created by DeGrom's injury. I thought it might be Trevor Williams, but it looks like they're going to go with McGill. So, yeah, that's not exactly a rotation that's going to bowl anybody over. Now, if you had Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassitt, 1-2-3, that's a different story. But, yeah, without DeGrom,
yeah.
You know, this...
Yeah, it doesn't look good for New York right now.
Yeah.
Is Philadelphia good enough to give decent competition to Atlanta in the Eastern Division?
Boy, you know, offensively, it sure looks like it. Their starting pitching is solid. You know, Philly's problem for the longest time has been that bullpen. And, you know, they brought in a bunch of veteran guys here this offseason. You know, they signed Corey Knebel. It looks like he's going to get the first shot at closer. Of course, I did happen to flip by the MLB Network today just in time to watch him give up a bomb that went about 600 feet. They brought in Jeruce Familia, who was the Mets closer for a while, and then Brad Hand, who's closed in multiple places. So they're all part of the bullpen now. They're just throwing stuff at the wall, hoping something sticks, and we'll see who it is. But
yeah,
it looks like they can compete.
I think offensively they could be a dangerous ball club.
Oh, yeah, you got to think with the signing of Schwarber and Nick Castellanos added the, you know, the likes of Harper and Realmuto and Rhys Hoskins, that's going to be a big-time lineup to have to face.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if any of the experts are picking them to come, wind up first ahead of Atlanta.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody pick them yet. I heard, most of the mention I've heard about them has been wild card talk. You know, that it looks like they would land one of the wild card spots. But, you know, we'll have to see. I can't see why they can't challenge. I mean, you're looking at a rotation that features Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler at the top. You know, Kyle Gibson is a solid starter. Zach Eflin is decent. And then they're going to go with one of their younger guys, Ranger Suarez. You know, if he can fill a role, there's no reason they can't contend with that kind of pitching.
I think they will. I think they will. And don't forget now that 40% of the teams in baseball now will be in the playoffs. So if they don't win the division, I think they're certainly going to be a strong contender for a wild card slot.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, well, obviously the Braves, you know, while they did lose Freddie Freeman, they replaced him with Matt Olson. You got to remember, Freeman was a team leader. You know, it's not like you were just losing a guy. You were really losing kind of the heart and soul of your team there. So while Matt Olson is going to be a fine replacement, you know, I mean, he's got great power and he's a fantastic defender. You know, he's not the, you know, he didn't come through the organization. He didn't go through all the BS of rebuilding, you know, things like that, like Freeman did. So it's going to be a little different.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it may be not considered all that important, but sometimes team chemistry can have a major factor in your success as a ball club.
Yep. You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, the Braves have everything you need to contend. You know, I mean, adding Olson keeps their lineup really strong. You know, don't forget they get Marcell Ozuna back from the injury and the suspension and all that stuff. So he'll be back in their lineup on a daily basis. That gives them another big-time power hitter to that lineup. You know, their starting pitching is really lights out. I think the big question is, what has Kenley Jansen got left in the tank here? I mean, he's going to be 35 really soon. And he had his struggles with the Dodgers those few years he was there.
Yeah, so, a lot of work turning his arm over the years, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, they do still have Will Smith hanging around as the setup guy, and he could step in to close if Jansen runs into trouble. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting. It'll be interesting to see how he holds up as the year goes on.
By the way, it's interesting you mentioned Will Smith, and I don't know about you, but I was amused to see that some of the Will Smith batters in the exhibition games were booed when they came to the bat.
Oh.
I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah, I believe the Dodgers catcher, Will Smith, actually got some misguided hate tweets on his Twitter account because they thought they mixed up the Will Smiths.
Yeah, pretty amusing, and it shows you how these fans react to these incidents and switches from entertainment to baseball.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it wasn't that Will Smith. So,
no.
Yeah, wrong guy. I got to find the
wrong
right guy.
But certainly those two teams look like they're going to be the strong contenders to vie for the National League championship.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean it should be, you know, kind of interesting as things shake out. I mean, you got to wonder if we, you know, does another team pop up like the Giants did last year? I mean, nobody had the Giants. Even this offseason, nobody's really talking about the Giants again. Could they do it again?
I think most experts are picking them behind San Diego, in fact, in their division.
It's pretty much back to status quo in that division where, you know, everybody likes the Dodgers and then San Diego right behind them and then the Giants third, you know, with Colorado and Arizona distant 4 and 5 in some order. You have to kind of wonder, can the Giants do it again?
I'd be very surprised if they did.
It's so hard to judge when you look at it. You're like, will they, won't they, can they? I think the big thing to overcome, obviously, is going to be the loss of Buster Posey. But we'll finally get to see if Joey Bart is the catching prospect everybody thought he was when they picked him up, you know, when they drafted him.
That's going to be the big issue for them this year. We'll see how that plays out. But you figure that eventually San Diego's going to have to make a serious run at that division with their talent.
Yeah, you would think, you know, at some point, I mean, obviously it would help if Fernando Tatis could figure out how to stay healthy. That would be a huge plus for them, but for whatever reason, he seemed to do that. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's much more difficult to pick the contenders in the American League, I think, than it is to pick the contenders in the National League.
It can be, you know, tough either way. I mean, you know, it depends on, you know, what you kind of look at. I think in the American League, the divisions are a little more what you would call top heavy, you know, where it's just like, okay, it's going to be this team, or this team, and the other two teams don't really matter. Where, you know, in the National League, the divisions can be a little longer because you get those odd teams that kind of bubble up. And I wonder if now having the DH will change that. And it'll kind of flatten things out.
That maybe it will. But we always talk about one team in the American League that somehow comes up with a respectable team, besides the fact they have a very limited payroll and a no-name type of team. But I fear that this is the year they're not going to do it. And that's going to be Oakland.
Yeah, no, this is definitely not going to be Oakland's year. And they've pretty much said that. They're set on rebuilding. They're still pouting that their stadium didn't get funded. So, you know, that's still a big issue there. I assume they're going to make some more trades here. I can't see Sean Manaea and Frankie Montas being on the team the entire season. So they're probably going to get really good prospect value for both of those pitchers. If you're an A's fan, there's not much to get excited about this year.
Not this year, but as we are always surprised, look for them to bounce back in a year or two and become a winning team again very quickly.
You know, I guess what you have to look for is how the prospects they play start to develop. You know, I mean, they acquired Christian Pyche in the Matt Olson trade. He was the Braves' number one prospect for a long time, but really struggled last year when they brought him up. Of course, he is only 23, so you got to see if maybe he develops here with the A's. It looks like Kevin Smith is going to take over for Matt Olson, or not Matt Chapman, the other Matt at third base.
Right.
You know, he's a 10 prospect for the A's. Maybe it works out for him. You know, they're going to have a couple pitchers in their bullpen, and then I think they're going to have three in their bullpen and two in their rotation that are all their, you know, in their top prospects. So it's time to look and see if these guys develop.
Yeah, and give them a year or two and see what happens because they've done it before, and they turned it around before a lot faster than I thought they would. So maybe they know what they're doing.
So, yeah, this year I'm pretty much counting them out. I mean, that division looks like it's just
No.
You know, I think it's Houston to lose, even though I know Texas made a lot of, you know, big-time ads with Marcus Simeon and Corey Seager. Yeah, you know, the problem, of course, is Texas needed pitching help, and their big pitching ad was John Gray from Colorado. And, you know, I know they signed Martin Perez, and I'm shocked that they're actually looking like they're going to use him in the rotation. So they're another one of those teams who are going to have to beat teams 10-9 on a regular basis, and we know that doesn't happen. So
I don't see anybody beating Houston in that division.
No, you know, I mean, I would like to give Seattle a puncher's chance, but I don't think they'll get there.
I did want to ask you one thing. Is Tampa still a team to beat in the American League East?
You know, a lot depends, obviously, on who you talk to, because there's always people who like the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Of course.
Myself, personally, I think it's the Blue Jays, finally. You know, I mean, their young guys are together, and, you know, they look like the team, but it's so difficult to count Tampa Bay out, because year in and year out, they show up without any big money guys. You know, hey, look, here's Tampa Bay, and there they go.
Yeah, and that's got to be one of the toughest divisions in baseball, the American League East.
It's probably awful.
Pizza,
yeah,
because,
you know, there are four teams in Baltimore.
Yeah. That's almost like a joke when you say that. Yeah, four contenders,
yeah,
in Baltimore.
So, yeah, that's, sadly, that's pretty much how it works out. You know,
yeah,
it's just going to go that way. You know,
yeah,
it seems like Baltimore's been thing for 10 years now, and for whatever reason, they just can't get it right.
No. And this year, I fear, will be no exception.
Yeah, no, they're nowhere ready. You know, and it's so odd because you look at it and you just wonder, where did they go wrong? You know, I mean, they started the rebuild and they just kept going. And, I mean, they had some guys pop. You know, Cedric Mullins showed he could play. You know, and obviously Trey Mancini's been very good for them, but, you know, now these guys are to the point where you almost have to deal them for prospects because they're getting too old.
Yeah, that's turning into a vicious cycle for them, isn't it? That seems like a constant rebuild. And a player, then they have a couple of decent players, and they get too old. They have to be peddled, and they start the whole thing all over again.
So yeah, it's just some continuous circle of rebuilding. You know, and I mean, that's got to get old for your fan base.
Well, I wouldn't go through any of the players in Baltimore and when you do your fantasy league coming up and give them serious consideration.
Well, you know, being that it's a deeper league, there's always guys you end up with. And I mean, obviously, you know, Cedric Mullins is a really good player. You know, he's 20-plus homer, probably 40 steal guy if they let him run. You know, and they do have guys like, you know, there's Ryan Mountcastle, who, you know, is a serious power hitter. I mentioned Mancini. There's, you know, Anthony Santander, you know, and Austin Hayes was one of those prospects they're waiting to develop. You know, Baltimore did do the thing where they sent their top prospect, who is a catcher by the name of, and I always kind of butcher his name, Adley, I believe it's Rutschman. He went to AAA, you know, so he'll be in AAA for a couple weeks, and then he'll be back up once his arbitration clock resets.
And that's the thing.
And there were a few guys.
Yeah, that puzzles me, because the players are so adamant about changing the rule, and it's still there.
Yeah, they must have gave it away for something else in negotiations.
Of course, they're getting more money. Some of the fringe players are getting a lot more money now. Maybe they settle for that.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, I mean, I know, you know, in our union negotiations, they always barter, you know, and get rid of stuff. And, you know, ours is, my union's always willing to take more money to get rid of something. So, You know, maybe that's how the players' union did it. You know, you give us a little more money and we'll get rid of this.
Well, unlike you, I am looking forward to the season starting. I know you're not going to be watching any games this year, but I'm sure you'll keep up with it by watching some of the highlights on MLB.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, I'm not unhappy the season started. I'm just disappointed that they couldn't get their heads out of their butt because it's supposed to be going right now.
That's true. Well, maybe they're better off because it's so cold when it starts, if it starts out this time of the year.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. That's their fault for playing 162 games and extending the playoffs. So
That's true also.
I don't have any sympathy for them because they did it to themselves because they wanted money.
Well, they got the money. Now they have to put up with a little nip in the air.
You know, yeah, that's all they're concerned with is money. So, you know, as long as they get it. I did see the Cubs look like they're going to take two L's today. They're losing both of their spring training games.
Oh, that's right. It was what squad game today, wasn't it?
So, yeah, I noticed that on the banner when I clicked on the ESPN website that they are down in both their games.
Well, I know that Suzuki has his one hit in spring training so far, which is a good thing. We won't call all the outs he's made, though.
You know, that's part of their rebuild. So.
Yeah, I looked at the team, and I'm thinking maybe well over 90 losses this season. I can't see anything else other than that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, like I emailed you, the only thing that saves them is they play Pittsburgh and Cincinnati 17 times apiece, I believe it is. 17 or 19 or something, however the unbalanced schedule works. So, you know, they will have a shot to win a lot of those games.
And the schedule is changing for the 23, though, isn't it? Isn't there more of a balanced schedule for the following year?
You know, I don't know. They do so many different things. You know, like I read today that the umpires are going to be mic'd and explain the reviews to the crowd, even though generally the crowd knows what the call should have been before the umpires are even done looking at the thing. So.
Yeah, sure. They show the replay in the monitor on the big screen, and you could see if someone's safe or out before the umpires do their conference and make the decision.
You know, and it doesn't take the fans 10 minutes to, you know, get on the headphones and, you know, talk to New York or whoever's making the call or doing the review or whatever. You know, they know, you know, 2 minutes after watching the video. So.
And the game is slow enough as it is, and sometimes these delays just take too long when there's a challenge or a review.
Yeah, of all the things they need to fix and don't, it's replay. Replay needs to be fixed.
Without question.
So we'll see if they manage to get around to it or not, but I don't think, of course, it's possible they don't think it's broken.
No, they're sometimes they could do a quick job, and some of those are so obvious that they get done in a minute or so. But a lot of times on a bang-bang play, they always say if there's no evidence to the contrary, then the play stands.
Yeah. So, you know, it drives me batty when – you know, these guys look, you know, they look at the play 8,000 times, and it's like, I get it. You want to make sure you have all angles covered, but sometimes it's just so obvious and they don't make the call. And it's like, come on, you know.
And doesn't it hurt the players, too, because if there's delay and their muscles get tight?
Oh, yeah.
Tight and
yeah, I mean, imagine if you're a pitcher there, you know, waiting 10 minutes to throw your next pitch.
Yeah, that's the worst thing.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, it gets ridiculous with the way they handle it and do things. But, you know, they seem to think it's the best.
Well, I hope that they do a better job this year when there's a challenge or a replay involved.
So, yeah, and then I was chuckling, changing up sports here. Last night on, you know, the NBA games were on TNT or TBS or whatever channel shows it there. I forget because I don't watch. But Dwayne Wade was the in-studio guest, and him and Shaq somehow came up with the point that if the Lakers actually get in the play-in tournament and they are healthy, they think they could make a run. So I decided I needed to look at this. Now, right now, the Lakers are tied for that 10th spot with the San Antonio Spurs, but the Spurs hold the tiebreaker. So right now, the Lakers would be out of the tournament. All right, say they get in as the 10th team. Well, then they would have to play two games on the road in the play-in tournament, and say they actually manage to get through the play-in tournament. Then they're the eighth seed, and their first series is against the team with the best record in basketball, the Phoenix Suns. Now, I don't have a problem with Shaq or Dwayne Wade. I think Shaq is actually incredibly entertaining. But the thought of the Lakers beating the Suns in an opening round playoff series just seemed ludicrous to me, without a lot of help from the referees, which the NBA would probably be willing to provide to move the Lakers along. I just didn't get that. Did I miss something?
I don't think you missed anything, and I think it was ridiculous. I didn't see the discussion between Shaq and Wade, but I'm going to go on record now and say I don't think the Lakers are even going to make it into the play-in tournament.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll find out tonight. They have a big game against the New Orleans Pelicans, who have the nine spot right now, and actually beat the Lakers the last time they matched up. Now, LeBron James is expected to play tonight, and Anthony Davis is listed as a game-time decision. Of course, with his career injury history, every game for him is a game-time decision.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We'll see if he possibly comes back. But, yeah, you know, and they are at home, so that will help them. San Antonio is also at home against Portland. So that's a game the Spurs should win as well. So even if the Lakers win tonight, they may not gain any ground.
Yeah, with only four or five games remaining, that San Antonio will win the tiebreak. That doesn't help their chances any.
Yeah, no, they can't tie San Antonio. They have to get ahead of San Antonio. And, the Lakers now, they have a really tough remaining schedule. While New Orleans isn't, you know, any kind of monster team or anything like that, they did beat the Lakers last time. So, you know, there's, you know, being that they're at home, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lakers win tonight. But then they have they have Denver on Sunday, which is going to be on ABC. Then they have Phoenix, Golden State, Oklahoma City, and then Denver again to wrap up the season. So they really only have one winnable game the rest of the way. I know Golden State is going to play without Steph Curry. He's going to sit out the rest of the regular season. But in reality, they should only beat Oklahoma City. You know, if they go, not counting tonight, if they go 1-4, they're not going to the playoffs. And they've lost four games in a row coming into tonight.
No, I don't see them making the play-in tournament. Unless the word comes on from down high and the refs start giving them some favorable calls. And we know that wouldn't happen in the NBA, would it?
No, oh God, no. That would
never. That would
never.
Not, never happen. Never, ever happen in the NBA.
That would definitely not be anything they would ever do to ensure that their meal ticket, LeBron James, gets in the playoffs so they could show his games and his face and all that fun stuff. So that would be
Are the executives at the ESPN starting to bite their nails now a little bit and ABC about the plight of the Lakers?
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder, you know, what are they, you know, what are they thinking? Because, you know, that's you know, that's the team they want in the playoffs. You know, they want the Lakers in the playoffs. Well, you know, not only when LeBron James was on, but before LeBron James was on the team, I should say. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if things get a little shady here down the stretch and they find a way for the Lakers to win some of these games they shouldn't be winning.
And that, although I could see it happen, that would really bother me as a fan.
So, you know, it's just, you know, just what they like to do. So, you know, you got to get the teams in that they think people want to see.
Well, everybody wants to see LeBron in action, of course. He is a great, talented player, and I'm wondering how much longer he's going to play. Of course, he was pretty young when he first started.
Yeah, well, remember, he said he wants to stick around long enough to play at least a year with his son, and that's still a few years away.
Well, as long as his body holds up, I guess he can do it. I know he tries to stay in great shape, but that's a lot of wear and tear on the body for playing in the NBA so many years.
Yeah, well, you know, he gets his rest now. You know, he's missed the last couple games, and, you know, there's the, you know, how many guys take nights off. I just saw tonight that after last night's game against Brooklyn, Giannis Antetokounmpo is sitting out tonight, and I guess a whole slew of other Bucks are going to sit out tonight against the Clippers after their big win last night. So
I believe the Bucks have won their last two out of the last three games on the road, so they're playing very well right now. So I guess they can afford to rest some of their top players.
Yeah, Yeah, Giannis is going to be out along with Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Brooke Lopez are all gonna sit tonight. And it looks like on the Clippers side, they're going to go without Paul George, Reggie Jackson, and Marcus Morris and Nicholas Batum. So if you bought tickets to that game tonight, you should ask for your money back because you're basically going to see a G League game.
Yeah, exactly right. And don't forget the Clippers did lose a tough game last night in overtime to the Bulls, so I'm sure they're hurting
yeah.
after that one, that they should have won.
So, yeah, I find that interesting that, you know, that it's going to be eight starters pretty much out of the lineup tonight in that game for both teams.
So they're going to give the fans half off on their tickets tonight because of that, right?
They should.
They really should.
The game's in Milwaukee, and it says you can get tickets as low as $36. Even at $36, that's still a ripoff to see a G League game.
And I venture to say those $36 tickets are probably in what the top rafters of the stadium.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. So. You know, yeah, all I know is if I had tickets to that game, I would be calling somebody, texting somebody, writing somebody, you know, somebody somewhere saying, hey, look, I bought these tickets in whenever because I wanted to see my favorite team play so-and-so, and everybody sat out. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and how many years would you say this maintenance thing has gone on like it is going on now? 4 years, 5 years? Has it gone on longer than that?
Well, I think 4 or 5 years ago it started, you know, where it was just, yeah, we rest. They need a day off.
And when you think about it, it really is unfair to the fans.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, when you think about it, I mean, you know, it's not so bad for, like, season ticket holders or people who go to multiple games. But, you know, with the price of tickets now, I mean, if you think about it, you know, you decide, you know, you're taking your kids to a game because their favorite, you know, one of their favorite players plays on another team. You know, like you want to see Steph Curry, but he's only in town once to play the Bulls. So you get tickets, and then Steph Curry sits out.
Yeah.
Not because he's injured. You know.
And I'm sure a family taking their once-a-year game for the Bulls, a family of four, decent-priced tickets, concessions, souvenirs. That's a lot of bucks to shell out when the players you wanted to see play aren't on the court.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like, you know, tonight you're looking at it, I mean, you know, like we just talked about, as low as $36. Even if you pay $40 for a ticket, you're taking a family of four. That's $160 in tickets. You know, if you drive, there's parking, plus what gas costs you now to get to where you're going. You know, if you're taking your kids, they're going to want a souvenir and they're going to want to try the food. So, you know what, you're out $250, $300 total.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's going to be eight starters out.
Has the NBA ever tried to stop this? Saying it's detrimental to the game?
They find some teams. I remember the Spurs getting hit with a pretty big fine because I think, honestly, you know, they're coached by Greg Popovich, who's one of the best coaches in NBA history. A lot of times I think he intentionally rested the guys on nationally televised games. And they started fining the Spurs and other teams for doing that.
Only if it's a nationally televised game, though.
Yeah. You know, because obviously that's all the league cares about is money from TV. You know,
so
and when you're on TV, you want those guys, you know, you want those guys in the game.
Right. So if it's a local market game, they could care less if the players are being rested.
Yeah. You know, they need to keep ESPN and, you know, Disney and TNT happy is who they need to keep happy. You know, even though I would love to know how, you know, ESPN feels about that gigantic contract they signed with them since the ratings stink.
Yeah, the thing is that the ratings stink even when all the players are playing, when all the top players are in the game. The ratings are still bad.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Well, I hope they do well, by the way, for the final rounds of the NBA playoffs. You would think the ratings have to pick up a little bit, but now you're going against baseball.
Yeah. So, and don't forget the XFL.
Oh, that's right. Isn't that starting in a couple weeks?
I think the end of the month or the 22nd, something like that. They kick off.
Is it the XFL or the USFL?
The USFL.
That's right. The other one doesn't start until 23.
I got my football leagues mixed up. There's so many of them. At least I didn't say the CFL.
No. Well, it'll be interesting to see how well they do in the ratings.
Yeah, that definitely will be interesting to see how things kind of shake out for them. But
if they wind up beating the NBA playoff games, the NBA's got to be highly embarrassed.
Yeah, well, I think fortunately for the NBA, I don't believe are there going to be. I don't know if there'll be any head-to-head matchups. Let me see what we have here. Yeah, week one is April 16th and 17th. The 16th game is at 7:30. I'm guessing is that maybe a Saturday or is that a Friday? I don't even know. It's 15 days away. Today's a Friday. That's a Saturday.
Correct.
So they have Saturday and Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, they have national coverage. I mean, the games are on Fox, NBC, USA, and FS1.
Yeah, some prominent cable channels for sure.
So yeah, I mean it's definitely, you know, they're definitely going to have everything they need to succeed. You just gotta, you know, it's all gonna depend on if the football is good enough.
That's,
you know,
because
that was
right.
The drawback, you know, with the AFL was the football just wasn't good enough.
Well, they can field a couple of competitive teams, and the games are closely contested. They might start to build a following.
Yeah, you know, it's possible. It looked like the last reincarnation of the XFL was doing pretty well until, you know, was it COVID that basically shut them down? Or I don't remember. It seems like it was so long
was
ago
COVID.
Now. But
wasn't it canceled in,
yeah,
mid-season because of COVID?
Yeah, they were doing decently, and, you know, it seemed like their fans were into it. It looked like they had a fairly good thing going, and then, yeah, it was...
Well, it should be quite interesting to see how well they do. And they must be confident because they're on those pretty prime cable channels to start out.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a good spot. And, you know, again, I mean, as long as they can put on good games and can show talent, I think, you know, those hardcore football fans that they need to watch will watch.
And do you remember how many teams, is there eight teams in this league, or are there more than that? Or
Eight teams,
okay.
So, yeah, we'll see how that works out for them.
Seems like Birmingham always comes up with a team in either USFL or XFL.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's Alabama. It's a football hotbed. The only problem is the college football hotbed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're hoping it kind of bleeds over to the pros and they get a nice following out of it. It's possible.
Yeah, you know, you often wonder why or if nobody's really tried it before, but, you know, because, you know, the only team really in the area there are the Falcons, but unfortunately they don't really draw that well, I don't believe.
Well, neither did the Braves in baseball.
Yeah. So, well, and remember the hockey team moved because they couldn't draw the Thrashers.
No. Never been a great
sport. You know, and I don't think the Hawks do very well either.
No. And for some reason that there's never been a great professional sports town in the Atlanta market, no matter what.
Even when
they win. Even when they win, that's right. Even when they win.
You know, it's very much like, you know, the Braves are very much like Tampa Bay. I mean, they put winning teams on the field, and yet they still don't get fans to show up.
No, it's really unfortunate that the fans, for some reason, aren't the rabid sports fans, professional sports fans for some reason, unlike Chicago, for example, or Los Angeles, New York.
It's kind of strange. You would think, you know, we get these winners, and then it's like, okay, why aren't there fans here? And, you know, I get it. You know, like Dan went to the stadium in Tampa, and it's not only is it a horrible stadium, it's just terrible to get to. So, you know, that just doubles the problem. But I believe Atlanta, if they don't have a new stadium, they're getting one here really soon.
Yeah, there's no reason why they can't draw.
But, yeah, we'll have to just kind of one of those things. You know, of course, there are fans out there that would kill to go see a winner that still go to these games even when their teams are bad.
That's right. I wonder if they sold all their baseball games last year in the playoffs, Atlanta.
You know, that I would probably guess they do. I think even Tampa draws pretty well when it comes playoff time. Of course, to be fair, it may be the visiting team buying the tickets.
Yeah, that's another factor.
So, you know, because obviously those teams are going to want to, those fans are going to want to go see their team play. And if you can't get it, you know, if you can't get it where, you know, at home, go to the away games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many Cub fans used to go to, you know, Milwaukee or go to Cincinnati to see games?
Yeah, As I mentioned, I've seen a couple of games in Milwaukee, the old County Stadium in the 60s, and we saw another, I think in County Stadium also, maybe in, we saw when they switched over to the American League, and they had some nice crowds for the games, but a lot of Chicago fans were there, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many fans will do that this year with the situation the Cubs are in, but, you know, there are diehards that, you know, always go, you know, wherever, you know. So, you know, I know
like
Mr. Fantasy has went to see the White Sox play, you know, when they were up there. So
I would have liked to have seen the game at Candlestick Park when I was in San Francisco in 1963, but they were out of town, and they were situated in a really strange location there, and they have a new park there now, and much better for baseball.
You would have needed your winter jacket if it was a night game there at Candlestick.
Absolutely
the way that...
correct. You would have froze without a jacket.
Yeah, that was always just nuts. So, but, you know, it was, you know, always fun to watch because, you know, the wind would get blowing and it would be
crazy,
a good time.
Crazy
but,
wind conditions for Candlestick. And if you ever, I saw where the park was located. Of course, they said they weren't in town then, but I could see why the wind was affected the game so much because of the way the park was. It was a very bizarre location for a baseball game.
Yeah, well, you know, Dan had that happen. They went to Colorado and the Rockies were out of town, so he couldn't even go see a game.
So I've only
he did
I've
take
seen,
like the tour. They offered like a park tour, so they did that. But there was no game.
Yeah, I did take a park tour of in St. Louis. So I was actually on the field there. It was when the Cardinals were out of town. That was kind of fun. I think that was before this new stadium.
Yeah, I've never been on a park tour or anything like that. I don't know. Just one of those things, I guess.
Oh, by the way, before we go off the air, I wanted to ask you if, and I forgot to mention that you have a spot of mustard on your shirt, right?
Yes.
April Fool. I got to toss that in.
Well, look at that perfect timing. Well, maybe if the music plays. Well, the music is supposed to be playing, so I'll just run through the ending here. What do we usually do? I don't even know without the music playing. Let's see. You have sportstimeradio.com where the blog goes up. The Twitter feed is at sportstimeradio. I'm on Twitter at BurkeTime. If you listened live, thanks for doing that. If not, head on over to tunein.com, and you can listen, well, pretty much anytime you want, and I think that's it. Is that all we say when I leave? Of course, you're normally gone by the time I do this because you can't hear me over the music.
Can you still hear me now? Am I coming in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're still on the roll. We got about 10 seconds to go, and it says the music is supposed to be playing, but it didn't happen. So it just kind of threw the whole wrap-up off. So
yeah,
I don't
the first
know,
time
it's, and
ever
you're
happened.
Not, you said you're, yeah, you said you're not picking the Blackhawks to win tonight?
No, I picked them to lose. Maybe they'll score one goal if they're lucky, though.
That'd be a plus for them, huh, if they could manage to score. All right, well, we can go now. It's that time. So have a good night, and Dan and I will talk to you Monday if he's feeling better.